And so this is what I have.
All right.
I'm now not only the King County Fire Chaplain for Vashon Island, but I am a King County Sheriff's Chaplain, yes, and a Pierce County Sheriff's Chaplain. And I'm with Pierce County, even though that's Tacoma and out of our county, because the sheriff, Paul Pastor, is an Episcopalian and a good friend of mine, and he also considers me to be his spiritual mentor. And so I always carry this badge because they have the grooviest badge. And I actually have an insignia, magnetic insignias for the side of my van out there. I took them off coming into this state, but one for the back and two for the sides that I designed myself, because most of the chaplain's logos are so prosy looking. And so I couldn't, I finally found one that didn't look Protestant, so I bought them, and I have them on our SUV. And then one day, Sheriff Pastor said, "Oh, you have a Star of David." So here's a Star of David that has the little circles on the corners, like the sheriff's badge, and it says chaplain across it. And I thought, oh my gosh, not that I care that it's a Star of David, mind you, but look at me. I mean, I'm driving along, and oh, there's the rabbi. So what I did is I designed my own. Could you do me a favor?
Certainly.
All right. It's the all you have to do is go out and click this and open it, and on the back seat, there's a card, a place card that goes in the windshield. Bring that one.
All right.
And then relock it, because my life jewels are and everything are in there.
Okay.
So okay. And then I'll share that with you because I designed this. And I looked for years trying to find a decent logo for an Orthodox chaplain. And I finally gave up. So what this is, it is a, I took two sheriff's badges, and I put one on the outside, one on the inside, and then a circle in red for fire. And then I got a gold Greek-style cross for the middle, and it says police and fire chaplain. And it is so wonderful that I now, when I go to our next retreat in Cannon Beach in February, I'm going to take a whole bunch of them and I'm going to sell them. Because it's just so much better than, you know, it takes orthodoxy.
Yes.
To, oh. Yeah.
Hello.
Yes. Thank you. Look at this.
Oh.
Whoa.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Doesn't that, you know, the nice thing about having a badge is that you're not only with this putting in the fear of God in people, but the fear of the law. So if one doesn't work, the other does. And I used to travel with that on my belt all the time. But then what happened was I got up to use the restroom in first class, because I was near first class. And as I came out of the restroom, there were these two stewardesses standing there, and I was chatting with them, and one of them says, "Oh, we feel so safe having you on board." And I thought it was because of the holy priesthood. And then she said, we always are so happy to have, can you guess what she said?
Air marshal.
They thought I was an air marshal.
Oh.
Quite the costume for an air marshal. And then I said, "Wouldn't an air marshal not have his badge seen?" And then I thought, if they think I'm an air marshal and they work on in this crew, what is a terrorist going to think? I'm going to be the first person he's going to go after. I probably still will be, because I'm a priest. And we know what Muslims like to do with Orthodox clergy.
Yeah.
But can you imagine having a terrorist think, oh, there's an air marshal who happens to be an Orthodox priest, let's get him first. And I don't mind dying as a martyr. I just don't want to be beheaded. I want to look good in my casket. There's a picture of an elder, I think on Mount Athos, who died recently, and there's lots of pictures of his face because he has this beautiful, glowing smile on his face. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
Who is that, you know?
I forget.
Joseph.
Was it Joseph?
Yeah.
Okay, and so, you know, I told Father Paul when I kicked the bucket, would you guys just kind of do this? And just hold it in place until it sticks. You know? But it, you know, if there's no head, you know.
It's a little difficult.
Anyway. So. One of the things that every one of us has to deal with is this whole idea of this, oh my gosh, can I really be myself? Will people like me? There's a prayer. In fact, I wrote an article about it recently on my blog about praying for those who slander us or who don't like us or who are mean to us. But we don't pray that they'll change their attitude towards us. We pray rather that they will see the ruin of their soul by how they treat people negatively and judge people and remain aloof from people. So we're not praying that they'll turn around and like us or respect us, but that they will see the error of their ways. So it has really nothing to do with me. It has something, everything to do with their soul. And everyone here, every one of us, we all have our detractors. We all have our detractors. There's people that they don't, you know, it's like, I usually wear my hair down. I've been told I look younger with my hair back up. I don't believe it. I think maybe henna might help. But the reality of it all is that as we are on this journey into the heart of God, we want to be authentically ourselves. And when the Holy Spirit is actively working to transform our heart, it's not that we all have to be sort of rubber stamp images of everybody else or even of the saints. Because if you read the lives of the saints, they're all different. All of them are different. You go into a community of monastics, it's the same thing. In our monastery, every monk in our community is different from the other one. And sometimes I'm thinking, wow, I can't believe, because when I was younger, I preferred living alone. When I was in college, I always had my own apartment because I didn't like to have to deal with roommates. You know, I remember two roommates I had in Berkeley that, and I'd come home from my job in the head shop. And I'd get home at 10 at night, and I'd walk in, and all I want to do is eat something and relax for a while before I go to bed, because I worked this late shift. And I'd walk into the kitchen, and every single plate was dirty. Every pan was dirty. These guys had had a big party, and they have cooked and did all this stuff. And there was nothing clean, and there was no dishwasher. And so sometimes I didn't even have the energy to wash one dish in order to feed myself. And I thought, I don't want to live with that. I want to come home and know that if there's a mess, it's my mess, and that's it. So I didn't think I could ever live with other people. Now, it helps that I'm the abbot. No, but in reality, it's my approach to my position as abbot is the conciliar approach, which is the Orthodox way. So I don't just, even though I, you know, figuratively, I have the power to say, okay, this is what we're going to do. But I rarely do that. I always consult with my brothers about anything major. And there are lots of times they'll talk me out of a decision I would have made. And that's part of the I think what differentiates historic Orthodox Christianity from the West. You know, in the West, the Benedictine abbot would be absolute ruler, like a monarch. And whatever he said goes, you know, and there's no, you know, one of the favorite things of some people is that the church is not a democracy. Well, yeah, it's not a democracy, but it is a Christian family. And by being a Christian family, you know, the difference between when I have a convert, a couple coming who want to become Orthodox, who are evangelical, I always require that they go through a marriage counseling first, even though they've been married for years, because there's a huge difference between the Orthodox view of marriage and the West. I remember when I watched on, like many millions of people around the world, when Prince Charles and Princess Diana were married, and the Archbishop of Canterbury, you know, he was giving his homily, he referred to the Orthodox use of crowning, and he said that, you know, that in a way the Orthodox see every couple as being like a prince and princess. Hogwash. That's not what the crown means. No. The crown is a crown of martyrdom. The young man who is marrying the young woman dies to himself, to self-will. And the young woman dies to self-will. And the young man, and by Christ's own instruction, is the head of the household as Christ is the head of the church. Christ is not a demagogue. He's not. Christ loves his bride, the church. And the relationship between Christ and the church is one of love. It's even, as I said earlier, it's a conciliar nature. That's what the church is. And so, and the other difference is that in the Orthodox marriage ceremony, there's no, you're not reciting vows. There are no vows. You know, in the Western churches, you know, death until I will be obedient until death do us part. And then a month later, you're really ready to kill them. But in Orthodoxy, if it be genuine, the marriage is one of equality. And the conciliar nature of the Orthodox marriage is that we make decisions together. You know, oh, I'm not going to go buy a new car that you don't like. Let's work together on this. Same way with a house. Same way with accepting a new job. You know, the husband isn't going to take a new job that takes them to another city unless he sits down with his wife and says, what do you think? These are the drawbacks, and these are the pluses. What do you think? Do you think this would be a good move for us? And if she says, I don't want to leave my mother, she's too old, and she needs help, and I don't want to be in another town away from my mother, so no, I don't want to do this. Okay, we won't do this. That's what conciliar means. We make these decisions together. And that's the way monasteries in the Orthodox Church have always been. You know, every abbot and abbess that I know have their abbatial council. And it's not just, you know, oh, well, you know, sign on the dotted line I've given you an order to. It's talking it out together and what would work best. And that's what brings harmony together. So I love my brothers, and I feel loved by them. And, you know, I have a heart condition, and last year I was in the hospital a lot, including 7 days. I have to tell you what I did when I was in the hospital. I I'm lying on this gurney and they're about to do a cardioversion. And cardioversion is where they put an IV in and they stop your heart and then they restart your heart with those pads like the medics would have. And so I'm lying there and the cardiologist, my first cardiologist was Catholic, and now my cardiologist is Orthodox, son of a priest, and I'm in better hands with him because he's considered the best cardiologist in the state of Washington, Peter Demopoulos.